The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
We're the Con Guys, and this is the Con Guy Show, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California.
And this is Jim with theconguy.com.
She's been here with theconguy.com.
Katie here, aka the Con Girl.
Zordon did not want five teenagers with attitude.
My name is Derek Sam.
I'm Danae Sam, and that's my brother.
We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Con Guy Show. Yes, we are less than a month, barely over 3 weeks from San Diego Comic-Con, the biggest nerd fest in the country. My name is Jim. I am one of your hosts here on the show. There's a guy up here on the couch. What's his name?
What's up, everybody? Cheesebin, social media for the Con Guy and screenwriter. Drinking a protein shake.
There's no protein in this. All right, Katie.
What up, all? It is Katie, the OG, mostly OG Con Girl. There were some people before me, but... representing the ladies tonight, as both Emily and Danae are not able to be here. Excited to talk about Comic-Con, even though it's a little bittersweet for me since I am not currently going. So, but we're still
here. We don't know. You never know. All right, Mr. D.
Okay. Hey, I'm Mr. J. Thanks. I'm Derek. I'm one half of the Samblings, one of the original Con Guys from the podcast. Happy to be here. Probably going to be at Comic-Con without a badge, just hanging out and visiting offsites because that's also
ghosting.
Exactly.
Ghosting Comic-Con.
And by that, I don't mean that Comic-Con's going to call me and I'm not going to call back.
I love that. And the guy with the cup.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's me, old buddy Ben. Old buddy Ben Cleaver. I'm stoked on nerdness today. I just want to double check. My entire screen has just frozen up. Am I still coming through okay on your end?
Yeah.
Yes, we see you here.
Perfect. I don't know why I did a thumbs up.
Oh, there we go. Now it's fixed itself. I've realized that I've been trying to adjust my lighting so I don't look so washed out, and it's my computer screen is the problem. So I'm trying to turn off the blue light on my computer screen, but I'll worry about that in a little bit. I'm stoked on nerdiness today. I just went and saw The Flash in the movie theater. My 5-second review is basically my 5-second flash review is if you love Michael Keaton as Batman, go see this movie in the theater. There's some other high points, but that's pretty much the best part of it. Other than that, it's meh. But Michael Keaton is astounding as Batman.
Yes, he is.
It is a great, like, third point to Batman and Batman Returns, I think, as far as his character goes. I'm excited. San Diego Comic-Con is one of my favorite places to be. It's one of my favorite events on planet Earth. I love going. The crowds are a bug, but I brave them regardless because it is just the energy, the excitement, all the wonderful colors, and it's going to be a little different this year, but I'm excited to attend. My wife, Brianna, and I are we're locked in. We got a room. We got our badges. We're good to go, so I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing my fellow con people at this, the con of cons.
Yes, that's right. Ben, you got a response to your Flash review. By the way, I just got to tell you, Jonathan, he goes, the Flash? More like the Flush, Roger Ebert probably. No, I got to disagree. Fair. I think I probably enjoyed it more than all of you. I am calling it the best DC film of the modern era. I liked it that much.
That's not saying much, though.
Well, but there have been some good ones.
But modern era does not include 1989 Batman, okay?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about the DCEU era.
Yeah, not Christopher Nolan. That's his own thing.
Yeah, we're talking
about technically the DCEU too, because now it's new and they're changing it. And
oh, jeez.
I mean, it's...
It's not the same DCEU as earlier.
But it connects back, because this one bookends
Man of Steel. It connects back in a big way.
The storyline of this bookends Man of Steel, which was the beginning of the DCEU. So, but, you know, like, yes, the Flush, it's Jim, not to throw some support your way. Do I feel like I wasted my money and my 2.5 hours sitting in a movie theater watching this? No. There were literally three other people in the theater. Now, I saw a matinee, so it was at 12:15. But did I feel like I wasted my 2.5 hours? No, I enjoyed it. I had fun. There was a lot of great stuff. Ezra Miller is freaking weird. Yeah. And they were a little... There were some parts where it was just like you were going way too goofy, and it's a little out of context for the rest of the film, like some of the really goofy parts. But like Sasha Kaye as Supergirl was freaking awesome. I loved
that. Was
her.
A great storyline.
That was a great storyline. I just love, I just loved Michael Keaton as Batman, and I thought this was a great kind of tie up for his, you know, three movie story arc, so to speak. And lots of Batman 89 references, which I liked.
A lot of Batman 89, and let's just say, I don't want to ruin any part of it, but there was the quote unquote the Spider-Man No Way Home aspect of this was amazing. The fact that the multiverses of the DCU multiverses were all on display made me very happy. They went way back, which made me even happier. A lot of people got a little bit upset about that, but I agree with you. I'm not going to say this was a great film. It was not a great film, but this is the first time since, well, Aquaman and the first Wonder Woman are two films which I think DC's done well on. And
really good.
I think this goes up there with them. It's up there with them. All right. Let's say hello real quick to some of the folks.
We got some good, a lot of comments so far.
Yeah. Hi, Lily. Yeah. Lily, are you going to Comic-Con? I just want to know. I saw you last year. Ben.
Blood good.
All right. Cat. Also, hello. General Gilman.
The General.
Yep. Andy is here. And it was cool. General Gilman says, Ben, the general is back in town.
Boys are back in town.
All right. Thank you guys for watching tonight. We are going to jump into this fairly quickly because let's just set this up. And we are a little over 3 weeks from Comic-Con, but like 20 days.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Jeff had a question.
Okay. Yeah, I really think we should talk about that really quick.
I didn't see it, but he asked if you think that Melissa
That's one of those ones that's spelled really weird, so you're convinced it's pronounced a weird way, but
it's
how it's spelled.
It's Benoist.
Oh, it's Benoist. I worked with someone.
To play Supergirl in the Flash movie, I didn't see the Flash, so I can't have an opinion, but I was not a big fan of Melissa as Supergirl to begin with, so I'm going to say doesn't really matter to me.
Is Linda Benoist, is she the older one?
But I think the Flash should have been Grant Gustin. But that is my decision.
Right. So real quick, if I can unpack a little bit of what we're talking about here. So Jim, Melissa Benoist is, she plays Supergirl on the CW series.
Oh, the TV version.
Okay.
The Arrowverse series. And while they did actually bring Ezra Miller in for a tag at the end of an episode of the TV show The Flash with Grant Gustin, who plays
during Crisis on Infinite Earths, when they were jumping between all these universes and they saw when they saw Tom Welling again, they saw what's his name, Brandon Routh as Superman instead of as the
and he was Kingdom Come Superman, which was really cool, I thought, as well. That's with the black and red S logo.
They had Burt Ward doing a cameo.
I think Burt Ward was in it, right?
At the very beginning, he looked up in the sky and said, like, holy something something, because they were opening up.
So TV show The Flash, that actor would have been a great guy for the movies. Yeah, that's Grant Gustin. That's who we're talking about. So, and that was like a big push online as well. And we got to get to our list. We're already 10 minutes into the show. So I'm gonna wrap this up and then we'll jump in, Jim. But really, the DCEU, the cinematic universe that they made, starting with the Snyderverse, essentially, they did the same thing that Marvel did early on, which was completely ignore the television series that were tied into the films. The TV series, to a certain extent, acknowledged the films, but the films never acknowledged the TV series. So you did not have any crossover, unfortunately, with the CW characters into this multiverse storyline of The Flash, which would have been super rad, and I would have vomited joy in the theater if I would have seen this. But unfortunately, if they brought in Melissa to play Supergirl, that would have been really cool. They did have a few, I'm not going to name any of the cameos, but they had some cameos from some other actors who have been in the franchises in the past, and even one who was going to be and didn't end up being in the franchise.
I love that one. That was great. Which,
apparently, some people are like upset about that, but
why? I don't care.
Can you guys send it in the private chat? Because I'm not going to see the movie.
So. Yeah, we'll let you know. We'll let you know. But yeah.
So anyway, but suffice to say, if you're a fan of superhero movies and specifically Michael Keaton as Batman, go check out The Flash in the theater. If you can, if you got the money to spend on a movie ticket, I know they're kind of pricey these days. You know, they're not $7 anymore. I dropped a bit of a chunk of change to see it in IMAX and get some popcorn and hot dogs, which cost me $3,000. Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, the nerd is strong with us today as we are excited about all things comic and pop culture related.
Lily is going to be down there. I'm so excited, Lily. We will look for you. And Nathan Rita, what's up, the con guy? So glad to see you guys. So let me give a little bit of context about what our list is about tonight. So in the recent week and a half, couple of weeks, a lot of Comic-Con fans have been dismayed a little bit by some of the announcements coming out. The announcements being that Marvel, Universal, Sony, most of the big studios and studio producers are not coming to Comic-Con. That's a big deal because that means Marvel's Hall H is not going to happen. Lucasfilm is not coming. Disney is not coming. You know, there's a lot. That's a lot. That's a big chunk of the con, which for a lot of people is not happening. So a lot of fans, if you've been online, have been, you know, a little bit dismayed, a little bit sad, and kind of even a lot of people really talking down the event this year.
Yeah.
So
they're actually kind of equating it to E3. If you guys follow gaming, E3 has been canceled. So some people I've saw mentioning it like, oh, they're pulling an E3. But also, just to piggy off of that, last year was not a big presence either. I mean, granted, we were coming out of the pandemic, so really, it's like last year was kind of the same. It's like kind of expected, I guess. And different reasons, I think, this year than it was last year, which we can get into, I'm sure, but like, that's the difference for me. I mean, last year was pretty light, too.
And Brad, Brad Everett Young, said a large amount of his journalist friends. Brad's a celebrity photographer, and he has a website called, Luke, remind me.
Dream Loud.
I don't know why I was forgetting that. Anyways, he said a lot of his journalist friends have backed out of attending SDC this week after hearing the news, which makes sense. But that being said, we wanted to say, you know what? I'm still excited. Why am I excited? Let's figure out, if we could, the best reasons to go. So we tonight are going to give you 21 reasons why this is going to be an awesome con.
21 parts to enter.
That's right. So you know what? We're going to start right at the top, and we have collectively, we've gathered our thoughts together. Hey, Derek, let's just start with, this is not the most important to the least important. We just have to number them. One, Derek, what's one?
Okay, so this is a good one to start with. Yes. So the fact that we don't have a lot of these big, huge Hall H panels from the studios means we might not have the big, huge Hall H lines that kind of just dominate everything and require you to plan your whole schedule around while you're at Comic-Con. Not just if you're going to those, but also just moving around to get into the convention center from that end, the way Hall H is managed, which, you know, they do a great job figuring all that out, but it's still, there's just a huge crowd right there and it gets very congested. It's just a lot. But if we don't have those, that does kind of affect how things will play out. And, you know, some Comic-Con purists will say that Twilight ruined Comic-Con in, what was it, 2007, 2008?
It changed Comic-Con.
It would be 2000.
It was 2009.
Yeah.
2009.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you were in there pre-Twilight, right?
Yeah.
He was saying purists would say it ruined Comic-Con. Yes. We would say it changed Comic-Con.
True. Okay, yes. True.
Some people would say that they really didn't like the change because Comic-Con is so much more crowded and there's a whole lot less emphasis on comics. And, you know, it just depends on what your preference is. Like, we all attend Comic-Con because we're fans of lots of things, and that's part of the fun. But with kind of this might create kind of a shift in focus, and we'll talk about some of the other things that might get more of a focus if we don't have these giant Hall H panels from all the studios. You know, we used to always get Warner Brothers doing a big, huge one where they would preview all of their upcoming movies. Marvel would do, you know, one or two big ones. And with that shift, it'll be interesting to see how the crowd gets spread out. Maybe some of the panels that are usually smaller might get more attendance. Maybe the offsites will get a little more. It's really hard to say. Maybe it'll actually be easier to get into Hall H for the panels that are there. It'll be interesting to see how that shifts things, you know?
Yeah. And Brad's got a good point here. He goes, Warner Brothers, they scaled back their big floor setup last year. So maybe this gives them a green light to up their game and be kind of king of the hill, king of the hall, king of the convention floor. Funko took over the extra floor space last year. That's a real good point. And Katie, I know that you and Derek, I remember like back in the day when I first met you guys would camp out in Hall for the Hall H line all night long. I know that for me personally, I have become less and less of a Hall H person because I have seen how it, I don't want to say ruins my Comic-Con experience, but it dominates it. Like it affects everything that I do. And so this is a change that I'm probably not so sad about. Katie, what were you going to say?
Yeah, like it does take out a large chunk of your day, your time. It takes so much extra planning because you have to kind of like see how long the line is to kind of know if I should get in line now. And sometimes you're like, I want to get food. I want to get sleep. I want to do all these things. And it really takes out a lot of this chunk of your options and time. I think it was fun. Like, I do not regret camping out for the Doctor Who 50th anniversary panel, like at all. That was probably the most worth it of all of the panels that I saw in Hall H.
Agreed.
But we were there together. Things can really make that unpleasant too, like with the whole people faking wristbands or whatever happened in a few years ago when people couldn't get into the room with wristbands, which of course put a whole damper on the entire day. So there is things like that that I will not miss. It's tiring. You know, 9 years ago, Katie could do it, but that was 2013 or 2014. And
you're an old woman now, Katie.
Oh, you're so old, Katie.
A lot of pandemic, just not the same. So.
All right. We did, and we'll probably won't spend as much time on every number, but because the Hall H situation with everybody skipping out is one of the biggest things that everybody's talking about, I think it is wise and prudent for us to talk about how that is going to affect the rest of the con. All right. So Ben, that being said,
real quick, let me do a quick transition here, because let me allow, for those of our followers, our listeners, our watchers who aren't in the know, we here at the Con Guy, as it says in our opening title, you know, we are involved in the entertainment industry. We're writers, we're actors, we're filmmakers, TV, you know, we do it all. And or we do a little bit of it all, I think, is a better way to say that. But so we're heavily involved in the entertainment industry and the production of a lot of this stuff, especially the type of stuff that goes to Hall H, film, TV, et cetera, et cetera. And what's going on right now in quote unquote Hollywood.
Oh, we forgot to mention this. Thank you, Ben. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
What's going on right now in Hollywood or the entertainment industry is there is currently a writer's strike. And the Writers Guild of America, or the WGA, has called a strike because of issues with the payout system from the major studios, Warner Brothers, Sony, Netflix, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the big players in the game. There's just issues with how they're being paid for their work, how much they're being paid for their work, how much work they do compared to how much they get paid for it. And that's one of the things I think as just an average person watching something, you don't really think about who wrote this. You just see the actors on the screen, or maybe you might think about the director, the person who, you know, made the whole thing happen, so to speak, or at least the visual aspect of it. The writers are extremely important because they give us the words to say. Yep. They create the stories that we watch and we're entertained by. And there are a lot of issues on both sides with discrepancies on the work put in and the pay received, and who wants to do what between the actual writers, who are union members, and the studios. And so the writers' contract ended. They negotiated a new contract. They didn't like what the studios were offering, so they said, we're not going to work. So that means nothing is being written right now. No new TV episodes, no new movies, no, you know, shorts,
no late night shows,
no late night shows, no webisodes. You might realize, oh, all of a sudden all the talk shows are off the air or running reruns. All of a sudden Saturday Night Live is not happening anymore this season. And that's because the writers are not writing until they get a negotiated deal with the major studios that satisfies them. Now, some people on some side might think, oh, this is selfish and they just want more money.
I gotta stop you right there. For the full disclosure, no, let's go back to all five of us. Full disclosure, Jim and Luke here are members. We are members of the Writers Guild. And for people who think that we're just being, and we were not allowed to vote on the authorization for the strike this year. I just want you guys to know that we were not allowed to vote because we're brand new members. And in years past, I have had that thought, Ben, like, oh, those bunch of writers, they're just making all the. Let me tell you, what we're talking about this year is kind of important. You know, using AI, artificial intelligence, to write scripts is something that the writers are trying to make sure the studios don't start doing, because that would be the end of the writing profession as we know it. So that's a biggie. There's some other things.
It's not necessarily. It would be the end of quality entertainment, I think.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's plagiarism. What's that?
Yeah. And it's plagiarism.
Yeah.
It really is. It's stealing other people's works to make your work. So that's one of the big issues, the big sticking issues. Another one is the streaming. Streaming is changing the way everything's being done. And the writers don't really have a contract for streaming like they should, because way back when streaming first started, they were like, okay, well, we'll deal with this next time. Well, this is next time. This is next time. And streaming will be the major source of delivery of stuff to us, of entertainment to us in the future. So it needs to be worked out. All right, Ben.
Well, and you have to think about that streaming is taking over now. Anything that you watch online, even if it's Paramount, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Disney, anything that's exclusively on, for example, Disney Plus, it's a new Disney Plus series, that doesn't count under a TV contract. That counts under a streaming contract, which is not negotiated for how streaming is now. It's negotiated for how streaming was a decade ago, which was web series and Vine videos, you know?
Right.
So the writers are and you know, in business, mm-hmm. you're going to try to get the most you can for the least amount of money. So mm-hmm. the studios are like, oh, well, we don't have yeah. to pay you this much because of this contract, right. and it's streaming. So the writers are trying to get their fair share and paid for their work, paid cool. for the work that they put in. That being said, so that's a big reason why a lot of these major studios aren't bringing stuff. They don't have a lot of new stuff to show. Mm-hmm. They're not working on anything currently and or filming anything. A lot of films and particularly TV shows, absolutely. But even a lot of films just stopped production. In fact, because Ryan Reynolds is a WGA member, they're filming Deadpool 3 right now. He is not allowed. They already have the script. The script has been bought and paid for.
I heard this.
The script has been bought and paid for. Ryan Reynolds currently is not allowed to improvise anything during filming of Deadpool 3 because that would be considered writing new material.
Yeah.
And he is technically on strike as a writer. He can act as an actor right now. And also, as a side note, I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA, which is in 2012, they merged the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, which is SAG-AFTRA. That's the actors union. We are currently negotiating our new contract, and in the next week or two, we'll decide if we're going to strike.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it's not just writers potentially that.
So if the Screen Actors Guild or the SAG-AFTRA were to strike as well, you couldn't have any actors come participate in any panels because right. they would have to be paid or provided for their appearance under a SAG contract. So they wouldn't be able to go to any panels either. So I think particularly pertaining to anything that's currently under production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were in a movie 20 years ago and you're having a panel, you can go do that. Like that's fine. But if you're in something that's currently in production, you're contracted to do media, for example, panels at a comic yeah. book convention, you would be barred from doing that if SAG strikes. We don't know if we're going to strike yet.
The thing is, it's specifically the rules are though, SAG actors cannot promote current projects. SAG actors can show up and talk about projects that have already been done like years past. Like if they're talking about something they used to work on a long time
right.
ago.
Right.
Like Power Rangers.
We'll talk about that in a second. For and also, example. Ben, what's interesting, Deadline is reporting. The SAG has authorized a strike. So yes. they are ready to go on strike. They're hoping to get word by June 30th whether or not they'll go on strike. I think June 30th is when they figure out whether or not they're going to.
Yeah. So I voted on that. I've been a SAG member or SAG-AFTRA member for 11 years. So I voted on that. We Perfect. Voted to give our representatives the authority to strike if they can't reach a deal. Mm-hmm. The union voted 97% in favor of authorizing a strike if we need it. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that the writers are on strike now. So there's a level of solidarity there as well.
The one thing that's cool though about their contract, SAG actors, their strike authorization doesn't really affect them. They have a 30-day grace period. So if they so choose, they can still show up, possibly. So I don't know how that's going to work. So that's 30 days after June 30th. So they might be able to come, but you know what? I have a feeling most of them, a lot of them probably won't show up in solidarity with the writers. The writers are still in strike.
Well, we are 28 minutes in and we've only
got we do got to get going here. So I think we're losing.
I'll go into the next one. That was just to give some context as to why San Diego Comic-Con is going to be
one more thing. I do have to say one more thing about that. Deadline is saying that sources inside the studios have said that if things change on the labor front, that means the strikes, there's still a chance of plans changing and making last minute appearances for some actors. So in other words, there are actors who have scheduled to come down right now. They can't say they're coming down, but if things change at the last second, they're still coming. So we can't say, all right, we're going to zoom through. All right.
We'll see you guys in if that happens.
Number two,
we're going to zoom through. So guys, my first San Diego Comic-Con was in 2012. This was after the big explosion of 2008, 2009. I know we mentioned Twilight was part of that, but I think when Iron Man hit theaters in 2008, that was when San Diego Comic-Con really started its blossoming into the pop culture juggernaut that it is now. That being said, I've talked to people who've been like, I've been going to San Diego Comic-Con for over 30 years, you know, it's and that people say, I remember when you used to be able to go down on Friday afternoon, walk up to the box office at the convention center, buy a ticket that day and walk in. And that's because it was the comic book expo. And it was still the central hub of comic book expos. And I think that's one thing we might see it maybe leaning back a little bit towards this year. There's always been, you know, a comic book presence there, writers, artists, et cetera, publishers, editors, everybody who's involved with the comic book publishing process. And this year, because there will likely be a lack of the huge film and television studio productions and their presence, we might see a lot more focus on the comic book creation aspect of it, including people like friends of the show, and I like to think maybe a personal friend of mine, David Boor, who has written 60 billion comic books.
And he is the hottest comic book writer out there right now.
He is. He's so hot right now.
we love David.
But yeah, David Boor, great example, fantastic person. If you read comic books or go to comic book shops regularly, you have seen his books on the shelf. If you haven't read them, you should. So always, if you see that name, Boher, David Boor, go check out his stuff. And I'm hoping he's going to get some more attention this year at San Diego Comic-Con. Not that he doesn't get attention, but I'm hoping he gets more.
Yeah, we're going to get him on the show. We're going to get him on the show before we head down.
I have one right here.
Okay, there. What?
Killer Queen.
Let's show.
And since it's Pride, it also works. So.
Yeah, yeah. Killer Queens. Yeah,
but David. I believe he just announced or came out with the second volume.
Yeah.
I feel like I saw something about it. So, but yeah, this is one of them.
And he also has Canto, which was his own creation. He's got he's writing on Firefly for Boom Comics. He's doing just so much. It's like, man, that guy's just taking off. So. Real quick, I'm going to do number three for us, and it's talks about this. We're talking about the actors, you know, that and Brad said, because Brad, he hangs out with them a lot. He goes, that said, I think more actors will show up at than the convention than expected. They've scaled back big premieres a bit lately, but actors just are still showing up because they want to work when it's all over. But here's where they can still show up to the parties and network, and they'll be there. So one of the
parties at Comic-Con.
I'm gonna tell you number three. It's we're not necessarily talking about the parties right at this point.
That was the worst, Jim. That was the worst transition. Parties. Let me tell you what. This has nothing to do with parties.
No. What's so strange is because I put this list when we were putting this list together, it used to be there and now it's not. It's moved to our other section. But anyways. Offsites. A number of offsites are in the works. We do know that. We don't know what they are yet, but there's a number of offsites in the works to, and I hear that some of the studios that will not be able to have panels this year are working with some of the major offsite promoters to do some offsites. They haven't been announced yet. Some of them have been announced, and we're going to talk about those in just a second. I know I'm going to throw it over to the other guys to talk about some of these offsites coming up, but offsites, guys, we will be having offsites. We will be having parties. So that part is not done. All right, Ben, there's actually a cool panel that might be happening that's not really being affected by the writer's strike. What is that?
Doctor Who or yes. Whom, if you're grammatically correct. So it's the last year, Doctor Who didn't really have a panel, I don't think, at San Diego Comic-Con. They did have a presence on the convention floor. But this is going to be the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. So we're expecting that something's going to happen now. They are across the pond.
Yep.
And so they're even though the Writers Guild and SAG-AFTRA are worldwide networks, they may not be under the same restrictions as a lot of the local organizations as well. And all we have so far online is like whisperings and like Russell T. Davies hinting at something at San Diego Comic-Con. We don't have anything solid yet. So we're looking forward to seeing what they're going to bring, because it's, come on, baby. It's the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. It's San Diego Comic-Con International. It's the granddaddy of them all. You got to be there.
Yep. All right. Speaking of anniversary, speaking of offsites, Luke Cheeseman, Cheeseman on the couch, number six. What's happening?
Well, did we skip number three, talking about the animation having a boost?
Yes, we did. Because Jim gave the worst introduction ever to number four. So you know what? Let's go back to number three.
But just backtracking, something me and Jim have done a lot, and you know, Derek for sure, and Katie, like, we enjoy a lot of these animation panels in the Indigo Ballroom over there in the Hilton, which have just been a lot of fun. You get like the most like animated panels that you can see. It's just a lot of fun. But we have here that we think animation may be a major draw again.
Yep.
Did they announce they're coming back?
They have not. They have not announced
it. The last year was the first year in all the time I've been at Comic-Con, I think, that Adult Swim did not have their activation out front.
Yep, the big carnival on the lawn. It's called Adult Swim on the Green.
Yeah, and last year they did not have it, so that's why I was curious.
Yeah, they scaled back last year, but they still brought four panels. And so the thinking this year, because I'm not, although I'm a member of SAG, and Andy did say Ben. Ben, thank you for explaining the writer strike and the SAG stuff. I fully stand with you guys. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Andy. Hopefully we'll see you there. Animation writers, is that a different contract or is that the same contract?
Technically, they're still under WGA, but with animation, it's done so far in advance. I think anything that they do, it's pretty much canned already. So,
and there are different rules about how they get paid and how things are credited.
Yeah.
Because... yeah, it's complicated, but things like the Lego Batman movie versus the Lego movie, that there were different rules in that because the Lego movie had a live action sequence, whereas Lego Batman movie was fully animated. So when that went to like different people getting credit and paid and stuff, it's like a lot of that is processed differently for a live action movie versus animation.
I'll defer to him on all that because I don't know anything about that.
So like Luke said, it looks like animation might be making a major presence this year. Smiling Friends, Primal, you know, Aqua Teen Force, all these, you know, Rick and Morty. Although
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, get it right, Jim.
Wait, what did you say?
I said Aqua Hunger Force. That's not right.
I said Aqua Hunger Force eats the teens or something like that. So Rick and Morty, maybe, but there's been some drama on and shakeups there, so we'll see. All right. Luke, you were about to tell us about an offsite, number six.
Yeah, number six is Jurassic Park 30th anniversary activation. I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm trying to look this up, but it looks like, you know, they'll have some of the Jurassic Park gates, some dinosaurs. Jeff Goldblum will already be in town with his band, so there's a chance maybe he'll pop by.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there'll be a lot of little things, or hopefully some giveaways and stuff like that.
By the way, if you ever get the chance to see Jeff Goldblum play with his jazz quintet, it's incredible. I highly recommend it. It also includes trivia. Nice. Well, I was just gonna say, we went and saw him up in Hollywood a few years ago, pre-pandemic. He was playing at a little like jazz club, and they took an intermission. The rest of the band went to the bar and just started drinking, and Jeff Goldblum stood up there and took pictures with every single person at the show who wanted to take a picture with him. Like, just was like, I don't know if you'd want to get a picture with me, but if you want to, just go ahead and line up over here. And he stood there until every single person in line had taken a picture with him. Just class act all the way. But anyway.
I've heard he does that at all the shows, too.
I just want to ask, Brad, were you at Comic-Con 24 years ago when you were 10 years old? Please let us know. All right. Katie, number seven.
So number seven is another offsite that happens every year. It's been there most years that I've been at Comic-Con. And this would have been either 9 or 10. I don't know. I can't keep track anymore. I think this would have been near 9 because of the pandemic. But is Dragon Ball Z always has a big presence at the back of the Marriott Marquis. I believe it's the Marriott Marquis, right?
Yes, you're correct.
They always have a big, huge setup with photo ops, other gatherings. They've done, like, a couple years ago, few years pre-pandemic, they had the, I think it's the American voice of, it was either Goku or Vegeta. Please don't get mad at me. I do not watch Dragon Ball Z.
We're not going to get mad at you.
They had like the world record for the largest Kamehameha. So like there's other things that they do and he led it. Last year, because of Crunchyroll acquiring Funimation, Crunchyroll had a huge presence at San Diego Comic-Con last year and had a concert at the Rowdy Shell or Ravy Shell. I don't know how you say it.
The band shell out behind the convention center. Yeah.
Yeah. They have the huge shell outside the convention center, right on the water. It's a beautiful venue. And they did it with the orchestra as promotion for the upcoming one that they were going to have, which I think happened this last year, of the Dragon Ball Z, where they orchestrate it while you watch clips from the show. And I did go to that. That was a really cool event. And I got a synopsis of all of Dragon Ball Z. So, but if you like Dragon Ball Z, there is always usually fairly long lines at this activation. So it's definitely one of those things that you want to look up for and kind of plan your day around, because usually there's giveaways and those giveaways are pretty like limited and coveted. So definitely worth, if you are a big Dragon Ball fan, definitely check that out.
Awesome. Thank you, Katie. And there's not been a lot of announcements for Back in the Band Shell yet, but who knows? We're heading into the last couple of weeks here, so we may get it soon. All right, I'm going to take number 8, and I'll take number 8 and 9. I'll zoom us along a little bit. I'm a giant Lost fan, so there is going to be a giant Lost panel. The podcast, was it Jay and Jim? There's a Lost panel that's going to be meeting over at the library with a bunch of different podcasters, hosts, and hopefully surprise guests, and that will be a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite shows of all time that I can't wait to see. Also, number 9, we're talking about how some of the TV shows are not showing up, but Lionsgate has announced that some of their TV shows will be making an appearance. The Continental is one of their shows. I was meant to write down they have another show they've announced that I will look up and find, and I'll just say it later, but I just stopped mid-sentence right there. The Continental, that's one of the shows that they got coming. So Lionsgate is bringing TV shows to the con, and hopefully they'll be able to get around some of the rules there. Katie, there's another big one that if you could fill us in on, number 10.
Yeah, number 10 would be the Her Universe Fashion Show. I think it's year 9. I did not check, but they have done the Her Universe Fashion Show, which is sponsored by Hot Topic and Her Universe and San Diego Comic-Con. Every year it takes place at the Hilton. I want to say it's the Hilton.
Well, I think it was Marriott last year. Wasn't it?
It might be Marriott. It's one of the hotels. I'm sorry, y'all. My brain.
I think it's the Marriott.
So they have this huge fashion show where during the submissions era time, they let people who are designers, people who are cosplayers, people who make clothes, submit designs. There's always a theme. This year's theme is all about Disney 100. So this is the first year where the all of the looks that were submitted had to fall into the Disney franchise. So it could be Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, but they weren't allowed to do anything outside of that. As in past years, there was a little bit more flexibility. But this year it is completely in celebration of the Disney 100 celebration. And then they have beautiful couture fashion. This is people who spend hundreds of hours developing new technology in fashion to make nerd couture is what they call it. It is hosted by Ashley Eckstein. She is also the founder of Her Universe. And then they always have a prize, which is the winners. There's a fan winner, and then there's a voted winner, like the panelists vote for one. They get to design a line exclusively for Hot Topic if they win. So it's an awesome, beautiful show. I highly recommend it if you have some time. It's at the hotel. I don't think you need a badge to go, but I can't remember. I think it's hard to say because it's some of the programming in the hotels do, some of them don't. You probably do need a badge, but it's been.
I think you do need it for the Marriott events. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's usually at 8 o'clock on Friday. I want to say it's like 7 or 8 o'clock on Friday usually. But it's a really fun show, especially if you're really into looking at fashion and looking at what people can think of. The things that people design, there's been lighting effects, glow in the dark, 3D printing, all sorts of stuff. It's a really fantastic show. And last year, you got a swag bag when you went. So it was pretty cool.
All right. It's a mainstay of Comic-Con, and we're just glad that they're back. All right, Derek, number 11.
My computer froze and I can't read it anymore, and I don't remember which one this is.
Number Ben. Ben, if you can grab number 11 for us.
Number Ben. Number 11.
Wait, is this the one of smaller panels? Because yes. Everyone's talking about that.
All right, please go ahead, Derek. Number 11.
Okay. I'm sorry, Ben. Thank you.
You're good.
As we were talking about this kind of shift in focus, because we don't have the giant Hall H panels from the big studios, probably, that leaves more room to give attention to some of these less well-known panels that still usually get a decent turnout. Among those, Starship Smackdown, which is always a fun one. You just have a bunch of starships from various franchises and you're voting on which ones you think would win in a battle, you know, kind of picking out your favorites. Another one that I've gone to a couple times and really enjoyed is Klingon Lifestyles. It's like community theater almost, because these group of people cosplay as Klingons and they write an original play each time. And I have been studying, brushing up on my Klingon on Duolingo lately. So
of course you have.
Of course. Come on.
I'm behind.
Listen, if they have an option for it, why wouldn't you?
I know, right? Yeah, Biyaj.
If you're Derek, of course.
You understand. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so those are things that I get excited about, which means they'll probably get a little more attention this year, which when those independent, smaller panels get more attention, it's more likely that they can keep coming back. That's one thing they said at the Klingon Lifestyles panel when I went before, that they said, you know, when you, if you send an email or do any kind of reviews online about the panels and mention the little panels like that, that you really enjoyed, it helps them when they try to come back again later.
Jim's on a little panel.
I am on a little panel. Yeah. Small little panels. It used to be called full-time creative career and a part-time schedule. Now it is called, I'm zooming. And it's called, it's right here. It is called. It's not that. I don't know what it is. Here it is.
It's not that.
It's called Success in Creativity, Making the Best of Your Resources. It's basically the same thing, but a lot more talking about how using your resources to maximize your time in your creative field, especially if you have full-time endeavors that require your attention. Yeah. Thank you, Luke.
You should get a tattoo of that.
I know. It's kind of a hard panel to say.
Thank you, Luke.
Hey, Ben, they're number 12.
You should just get a tattoo that says, thank you, Luke.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
So one thing I want to say really quick, I always, at every convention I go to, they're doing Klingon Lifestyles, and I always want to go, and I always end up having something else going on that I can't go. And so this year, I want to go to Klingon Lifestyles, and to that I say, kapla.
There you go. Translate.
That being said, to change gears completely, snoochie boochies, motherfuckers. Kevin Smith, the great New Jersey from New Jersey is called.
He's American.
This is the happy hour, and I made my cocktail a little stronger than I intended. Mm-hmm. So this is going to get real fun real quick.
Cheers,
if
Ben.
You're a fan of the Askewniverse, the View Askewniverse, which is the series of Kevin Smith films and like Clerks, Chasing Amy, Mallrats, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, Clerks 2, Clerks 3, etc., etc. Great film franchise, by the way. The famous restaurant from the film series, Movies, which has had a pop-up all over the country, including here in Los Angeles. And if you want to go over to that hashtag shows YouTube page and dig through all the videos, you can see my personal review of the Movies pop-up restaurant. They're going to be having a Movies pop-up takeover in San Diego for San Diego Comic-Con. So if you want to go pay, wait, beg pardon?
I said, I love it.
Oh, yes. I was going to say, so if you want to pay way too much for a pretty decent cheeseburger, but pay for it because it is themed like your favorite fictitious restaurant, I would highly encourage you to go check it out because they do have merch. They do have DVDs, Blu-rays, T-shirts, all kinds of stuff for sale that you can buy from the Movies pop-up. And it's just a fun environment if you love the Kevin Smith films, which I do, and so I'll probably be showing up.
Awesome. Awesome. And thank you for whoever was typing. So I said that Lionsgate was bringing TV shows. I knew they were bringing Continental, which is from the world of John Wick. Also, they're bringing Ghosts, the CBS comedy, which is an awesome show.
I love Ghosts.
Yeah, and they're bringing the Starz wrestling-themed drama Heels. So those are the three shows that Lionsgate has announced they are bringing.
That's the Stephen Amell show, right?
Oh, I think so, yes. I think you're right, yeah. All right.
With Alexander Ludwig and Stephen Amell, I think, right? Brad will tell us in 5 seconds.
All the people that Katie has a crush on.
All right. We got a big announcement for number 13. Lucky 13 for us, Cheeseman. Why don't you tell us what this is? Here is one of our favorite reasons why we think you're going to have an awesome time at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
We are kicking it off with a bang once again. So I keep getting the 30th anniversary stuff. So what better 30th anniversary for us to celebrate than the official Power Rangers 30th anniversary celebration?
Yes!
Moderated by our own Ben here.
Woo!
Thursday, kicking off at 6:45 p.m. p.m.
Wait. Sorry. We're not allowed to give the time.
Oh, we aren't.
Yeah, we have to wait till San Diego Comic-Con gives the time.
Oh, okay.
Fix it in post.
That's roughly the time, but maybe not the time. But we are still finalizing things and the room.
13 o'clock.
Yeah.
13 o'clock, exactly.
I think we're one of the only people that still follow those guidelines, but we will do it.
Yeah. But right now we have Dwayne Cameron coming back. We had him there last year. He's from Dino Thunder. Can we show your graphic, Luke? Yeah, go ahead. You can
take it off. Here we go, guys. This is awesome.
Much better looking there.
Yep.
Look at that panel of hands. We don't have any chicks on the panel?
Well, there's a question mark. We have which is Luke does have somebody lined up. We're trying to work out. Just to let you know, this requires hours and hours and hours of crazy logistics to get all this lined up. We got to get the signings lined up. We got to get the badges lined up. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on here. So, Luke, tell us who we got here.
Well, we got Patrick David from Power Rangers in Space, Roger Velasco from Power Rangers in Space and Power Rangers Turbo. We got Brennan Mejia from Dino Charge, and I think there's also Super Dino Charge. There's a couple of them that they did. And then we have Chris Kamen from Power Rangers in Space. So we have a lot of people from Power Rangers in Space and Power Rangers in Turbo. So, which is actually awesome because I think they're celebrating like a 25th anniversary. So that will be kind of fun to kind of address that during the panel. Peter Sedarso from Power Rangers Ninja Steel. Cameron Gibo, one of our longest friends from Power Rangers Super Mega Force. And then we have a new ranger, Selwyn Ward from Power Rangers in Space and Power Rangers Turbo. And we have Blake Foster from Power Rangers Turbo. Again, we got a lot of Power Rangers Turbo, so this is going to be fun for Ben.
Yeah.
and again, Dwayne Cameron, who I mentioned before from Dino Thunder and Operation Overdrive. I think I mentioned him. Plus, maybe some other guests as well.
Well, and one of the other guests, there's one that we're really hoping comes on, and she very much wants to be here, and she's also was in Power Rangers in Space and a number of other ones, which was kind of cool. So that is awesome. What else can you tell us about that, Luke?
We're also going to be part of the after party. There's going to be a 90s themed party after. So not everybody, but some of them will be there. And then we're also trying to see if we can get some. I think we got a couple maybe coming to the pre-Comic-Con party as well. And there'll be signings. We're still working on those in the time. So all of them should be signing at some point, either one day or multiple days during Comic-Con.
So this is pretty amazing. This is going to be perhaps our biggest one ever. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, we have talked with other Power Rangers who like to make late appearances. So, and they will be at the convention. So you can bet it's going to be a rousing celebration of the 30th anniversary of Power Rangers this year. It's going to be awesome. So come watch the Power Rangers, and then you can party with the Power Rangers at the Nick at Nightclub party that night. So it's just a 90s themed day. We are really excited. This is going to be cool. We'll give you the times, the room, the details, and everything after San Diego Comic-Con releases all that information. So Cheeseman, good job on setting that all up. That is pretty amazing. All right. Ben, you got your work cut out for that one. That one's going to be crazy, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He just wants to talk about number
four. Why you do you talk, feel, Ben? And then let's go into number 14.
I just use my gift of gab and let them do it. I just pose questions. That's all I do. I just get the conversation going and then let them do all the work. That's
and they
all
will definitely do it.
They will. That's true.
Yes, that's the Steven Wrestling Show.
Ah, okay. I can't wait for Amy Jo Johnson to be there. Oops. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah.
We wish.
Amy Jo Johnson famously kind of doesn't really do a lot of Power Rangers stuff anymore. That's the only reason I said that. Yeah. It was
Emily
joke.
Would lose it. Emily would absolutely lose it.
I would lose it.
Yeah.
Who do you think I had a crush on as a 9-year-old? Amazon plans to have a big presence at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Season 2 of The Wheel of Time, they're bringing The Boys, Generation V, and those shows are due to premiere this fall. So Amazon is still, they haven't really officially announced anything yet. So that was like my hopeful, assumption. But the streamer is still sorting out what will be happening. The Boys main show has finished filming, so depending on, a SAG after strike or whatever, we may have a big panel from Amazon for The Wheel of Time and The Boys, et cetera, et cetera. We may not. We'll see. It has yet to be revealed.
Is that a spinoff?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know there was like a spinoff.
The badges have started arriving. It is The Boys, Gen V, so that's a pretty big indication that they will be there.
I just didn't know they were.
Jim doesn't want to show his name.
Well, no.
You're
don't
not supposed to show your name,
Luke. Yeah, let's put this warning up there. Don't show your name on your badge because people can take a picture of it. They can copy it, and if Comic-Con finds that your badge is being sold on eBay or anywhere else, your badge will be canceled.
Yeah.
It will be canceled. Oh, wow. So we got to be really careful. The badges will come in envelopes that look like this. By the way, when we were talking about television, I know that one of the buildings, I think it is the Marriott or the Hilton, is being wrapped in the Interview with the Vampire by AMC. Ooh. So if things can get worked out, AMC might be there. All right. So next, Cheeseman on couch. There's another big one coming.
I feel like Ben should have got this one. Sorry, Ben.
You want to do it with Ben?
No worries. Go for it.
Yeah, so Paramount Pictures expects to hold a panel for the animated feature Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Awesome.
But its streamer Paramount Plus has not committed panels yet for Star Trek, but new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This looks really cool. Like, I mean, the animation,
the new movie that's
the actors.
Coming out?
Yeah.
The one that's produced by Seth Rogen?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah.
It looks really great. Good.
The trailer looks great.
Again, like, Ben should have probably had this one.
So good.
Seth Rogen himself.
All right, Jonathan Wilkinson, stop selling Jimmy Fry passes. I'm going to come find you. All right. Next, Derek, number 16.
Yeah, so Warner Brothers needs to do their PR push for things like Blue Beetle and Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, and they haven't completely ruled out coming, so we'll wait and see for sure if they make an appearance. But at the same time, Max, formerly HBO Max, the streaming service owned by Warner Brothers, is planning on being there with some of their animation titles. Do we know what those are yet?
We do not.
Okay.
I would imagine that the Harley Quinn cartoon, which is about to release its next season, is probably going to have a presence there, which it's very adult, but it's hilarious and very well written.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you guys see me, or am I frozen?
You're frozen.
There's a new t-shirt right there.
It's a good pose.
Good t-shirt pose. Trying to get it to unfreeze and it's not. So,
yeah, just give it a minute.
But
by the way, while we were announcing the Power Rangers panel, I wanted to show last year's Power Rangers panel where we also had 10 people. So that was the 29th anniversary panel, and that was huge. And this panel is promising to be, it's right up there. So we're really excited about that. All right. Derek, did I interrupt you?
No, I was done. I was asking if we knew what the titles were that they would be bringing. I didn't think it had been announced yet.
No. And just to tag on to yours real quick, I know that James Gunn and Peter Safran.
Pete Safran?
Yes. I know that they really, really want to have a giant Warner Brothers panel. They are doing everything they can to have a giant Warner Brothers panel. So I have a feeling this is one of those panels that's, we're fingers crossed. It's one of the few studios that has not yet dropped out. They are still trying to have a panel, and we will see what happens June 30th. We'll see. We probably won't know until the announcement comes out from San Diego Comic-Con on July 5th is when they start announcing their panels. All right. Cheeseman, I think you have the next one.
All right. According to Deadline, there will be a Sonic the Hedgehog restaurant opening. We should talk about our buddy Josh Miller. Go get him. I'm pulling a Biden right now, or I'm reading the parentheses.
Oh, come on.
Get
You're
him on the, phone.
The list. You're not just reading the list. What are you talking about?
Go get him.
Go get. Let's get Josh Miller on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, do it. It's so I assume this is the more current Sonic the Hedgehog that they're doing the restaurant of?
Yeah, yeah. The one that Josh Miller just wrote, he and his writing partner just wrote the two movies that have become big hits.
That's cool. Which has, you know, Knuckles in it, Sonic Tails, all that stuff. So
they're working on the third right now, BT Dubs.
Yep. Aren't they also doing a spinoff called Knuckles?
I have no idea.
I think there's a spinoff. I'm not really sure about that. All right. Derek, there's something cool here you might want to talk about. Number 18.
So WB 100, that's, you know, celebrating 100th anniversary. They're doing a Looney Tunes and Harry Potter mashup. So you've got all the Looney Tunes characters dressed as, or Looney Tunes dressed as Harry Potter characters, which I kind of love. I always loved Looney Tunes back in the day, and I really love Harry Potter now and have for a long time.
That's cool. And
I will say, so often over the years, it felt like Warner Brothers didn't capitalize on their nostalgia well enough. And sometimes, every now and then, they'll bring out some clever stuff with Looney Tunes. Like, they're tapping into that a little better. And, you know, they can do it. If Disney can do that with Mickey Mouse, Warner Brothers should be able to do that with Bugs Bunny.
Yep. And it's
Hold on. Are they saying that Daffy Duck would be in Gryffindor?
Wait, let me look. Let me look.
I couldn't tell. It's too small here.
Give me a break. Look at that. But the colors look red and yellow.
Daffy would totally be a Slytherin.
He would absolutely be a Slytherin.
I get Porky Pig as Hufflepuff. That totally works. I think Tweety Bird would be a Slytherin, to be honest.
True.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Jim.
Does anyone want to take number 19 that's not me? I can take it.
What is it?
You've got to be able to talk about Universal. I'll take it. I mean, you wore a shirt just for this topic.
No, number 19.
Number 19. Jim, I was talking about 19 and 20.
So 19.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Have you guys heard about Cozy TV? It's kind of like a new a TV station that's all about the nostalgic shows from like the 80s, 90s, and probably early 2000s.
It's the new Nick at Night.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And remember last year that they brought this this pop-up? It was Third Rock from the Sun. They had, you could go out to and take pictures with the car. They even French.
French Stewart
showed up, you know, to talk to people at the event. So it was very cool. This year they are celebrating the 30th anniversary of Roseanne at San Diego Comic-Con. I know that half our audience and half the audience, there's political undertones to this whole thing. Let's think about 90s Roseanne. We're celebrating 90s Roseanne at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Before Twitter.
But Lunchbox, the popular diner from the series, was introduced in the very first season in 92 to 93. And it's the place where Roseanne and her sister Jackie worked as waitresses. Fans will receive Lunchbox merchandise, a chance to watch reenactments of classic episodes, which will be hilarious. Of Lanford Days, and the classic episode. And based on the video, that there was a promotional video that came out. Maybe we'll find it, put it on the website. The space looks to be taking over an entire parking lot, with lots of seats, activations, and carnival-type games throughout. That's going to be very cool. So we'll have more information about that. They've located the parking lot. They think it's going to be like an intersection of E Street and something else. Aren't you glad I let you know that? All right. I'm wearing this shirt because number 20 on our list, Universal Monsters glow-in-the-dark creature from the Black Lagoon scale figure from NECA. It's the debut of Universal's 1954 film, The Creature from the Black Lagoon, or the debut of this film. Took audiences deep into the Amazon. The 7-inch scale con exclusive. I love that it's an exclusive to the con. It depicts the mysterious and terrifying creature in extraordinary details. It's going to have a cool window box, but it's going to be glow in the dark. I have, I think, hanging on my wall, the version that's not glow in the dark. But of course, there we go. I got to get the glow in the dark one. So when we're talking about 21 reasons why San Diego Comic-Con is going to be great, because I'm going to be standing in line for this Creature from the Black Lagoon exclusive. All right, cool. Hey, Katie, Katie, number 21 is actually pretty cool. I mean, let's get me off the screen here, folks. Da-da-da-da-da. There we go. Stop. All right, Katie. Oh, wait, Katie,
Uh-oh. You're muted. You're muted, Katie.
No, we don't have sound.
Did you wait? She'll do it. We'll work this out. Testing.
We'll go to Jim till we have Katie. We'll just look at Jim till we hear Katie's voice.
This is terrible. By the way,
can you guys hear me now?
Yes, there's Katie. Yes.
Sorry, when I reset my camera, I did not change the audio.
No worries.
Okay, anyway, I'm back. I called you. I said rude because, you know, you guys didn't want to show me even though I was talking. But anyway. So for this Comic-Con, it is also the return of Funko Fun Days. If you guys are a collector or in the Funko circle, you're aware that it is a big deal at San Diego Comic-Con. It is back. It is at a new location this year. It is at the Ratty Shell. Shell. I don't know how to say that. So if I am saying it wrong, someone please tell me. But that's going to be where it's at. It'll be outdoors. So I'm very curious to see how that will be. But it's probably going to be kind of cool and be nice to be out in the fresh air because it is a really nice venue and it's like right on the water. It's really pretty. It does get a little windy because it is on the water. I will tell you guys that from when going to the concert last year. So I would definitely wear layers if you're going to be there because if it's after dark, it will get cold. But not cold, but you know, cool. Tickets are sold out, as they always sell out very quickly. So unfortunately they are no longer available to get tickets, but it's still, you'll hear it, you'll see it, you'll see, I'm sure you'll hear it if it's gonna be over there. Yep. They obviously give out their Funko Fun Days boxes. You can buy them as well. So it's a big thing. They have a whole bunch of surprises that they do. They have exclusives, they have activities, they have giveaways, they have contests, they have all sorts of things. So go on the Funko blog if you guys want more information about that. Funko is very good about putting that information on their blog. Of course, you can also find it on San Diego Comic-Con stuff as well. But I always say with Funko, it's best to go to the blog because they are very thorough and very detailed with where to check in, what to do when you get there.
Yep.
Anything that you do at Comic-Con that is a bigger, whether it comes to offsites, whether it comes to autographs, always look in depth on the Comic-Con website and on other blogs like that or us to see what the actual instructions are, because you don't want to get there and not be prepared. Whether it's cosplaying, there's always a weapons policy, prop policy. You do not want to be told that you can't take a prop that you spent 300 hours or $100 plus making, be told you can't take it into the venue. So always check.
Yep.
It's just like a lot of research. Comic-Con, if you guys haven't gotten this vibe from us in the past, it's very much something you have to research before you go. You can kind of do, like, if you're new and it's overwhelming, take where the wind takes you. But it does require some research. So, anyway.
Thank you for that.
I'm not quite sober. I'm sorry, y'all.
No, 21. 21. That is 21.
A long happy hour.
It was a long happy hour, but real quick. For those who might want to have imbibed, or for those who are a little bit older, we also have just a couple. This is just for those who are hanging on. What we call
this 21 people.
This is our over 21 list. This is our over 21 list. We only have 4 things on here. So for our over 20, so we've given you 21 things that are reasons that this year's Comic-Con is going to be great. Here's 4 more. This is our over 21 list. In other words, this is number 22. Get it? Somebody said that earlier. I thought it was funny. So our first over 21 list, we already know of 3 or 4 major after parties happening. So come on down. XLE Productions, which is going to be featuring the Flux Capacitors. Bernie Bregman's going to be featuring on Thursday night at the Power Rangers. On Wednesday night, it's the Ready Player One party. And then on Friday night, it's the more of a creepy party. The Monsters Ball or the Monsters Mash. Tickets are still on sale for these events. So we encourage you, most of all, if We can't give you times and rooms, but Power Rangers all day, Thursday afternoon to Thursday night. This would be a great thing. So four parties. All right. Hey, Derek, what's number two of our over 35 list? Oh,
over 35? Over 21.
Sorry. Over 35, Jim.
Yeah, I'm wondering where you went with that.
That's over 35.
Stop. All right.
I can qualify for that now if it's over 35 or 35.
Yay. You scared Ben away.
Oh, geez. So here's a really cool over 35. Why do I say
over 21? You mean over 21?
By the way,
say it three times, Jim.
Over 21 right here.
This is probably a very happy hour tonight.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Derek, number two.
So Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be there to promote her new graphic novel, which is called Mother Nature. She also wrote a script for it that's being produced by Blumhouse. Let's see. So I know some of us have talked. I mean, there are a couple people on this show that are very big fans of the Halloween franchise. And, you know, I was a big fan of Jamie Lee Curtis in movies like True Lies.
Get off of me.
He's talking about you.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. I'm sure that's not annoying for people watching the show at all. but yeah, I mean, we can expect to see some cool appearances for that. Probably some cool promotional materials. We'll see.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. Keep going. Mike Emke. What? That is very true. Not crack, but I'm on crank libations. All right. All right. Hey, Ben. What about number three in the over 21 list? Or would you rather do number four? You choose.
No, I'm fine with this one. So the if you're familiar with the brand Geeky Tikis, which I'm holding, our lovely Jim is joining us right now. So Geeky Tikis, for those of you who don't know, they produce tropical themed tiki style glassware or drinkware. Generally in the theme of nerdy things. They've done Star Wars and Marvel and Game of Thrones? I feel like they've done it.
I think so, yeah.
All sorts of every genre of the nerdy pop culture zeitgeist that you can think of as Jim Chugs. I don't know who John is. But anyway, Geeky Tiki is debuting a new line of tiki mugs this year at San Diego Comic-Con. And of course, it's everyone's favorite cult classic, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which I admittedly have never watched.
I hate it so much.
And they are also doing a tiki totem pole from Pee-wee's Playhouse and a tiki mug of Pee-wee Herman himself.
I love it.
I love Pee-wee Herman, so I'm down for that.
The bottom of the totem pole is Cherry.
Oh, Cherry the chair, of course. What about Terry the pterodactyl?
Yeah.
What about Jambi the genie? What about Cowboy Curtis?
Hey, can we just go? Let's just do this for a minute. Just leave it five of us on the. Ah! Yeah,
it's getting a lot.
Luke, stop. Stop.
For those of you who don't know, Luke is in control of who's the focus. Like, for example, I'm on the screen right now, and Luke likes to play around with that, particularly by putting Jim on the screen over and over again.
All right, Luke Cheeseman, number four, our final over 21 list. What's a good reason? Oh, wait, you got to see the dog first. You got to see the dog.
Well, she's being disagreeable. She's
okay.
She's growling at me.
Our final over 25 list, Luke Cheeseman on the couch.
Head over to the Gaslamp Quarter's newest restaurant, The Wild Hare, directly across from the convention center. We have been there. Tons of craft beers and a great view of the con. I got to say, the Hilton's one of the best places. Not the cheapest, but one of the best.
It's right across the street. This is a brand new brewery.
Just open?
It's open now. So it's a brand new hangout spot right across from the Ben. Introduce our sixth guest tonight. Who is this?
Oh, this is my little baby Sabine. She's like 3 years old. She's my one-eyed monster. She only has one eye. Her full name is Sabine Wren Wednesday Adams Cleaver.
That's awesome. And,
she hates everyone but me.
As it should be.
All right, John
Picklesworth.
Hey, Luke Cheeseman, I haven't seen Jim in a hot minute. Can we get a close-up of him, please? That's great. All right. I'm just, by the way, I want to remind everybody, Mike Emke, he is down in Florida. We are part of Mike Emke's We Be Geeks podcast network down in the Southeast. I love it. Mike's got a great bunch of podcasts down there. So make it's Wookiee Radio, all kinds of stuff. So you guys should check that out. And let's Luke, for real, leave it like this for and while we close out the show tonight. Guys, that's our 21 reasons why. Luke, for real.
Could you tell I was the younger brother? I mean, does this show that I was the younger brother?
Yeah.
Just poking at people?
Yes. But for let's just finish the show off. I know. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. That's 21 reasons why San Diego Comic-Con. Yes.
It's still going to be the best this year.
Yeah.
Mike says Ben needs to come back on Wookiee Radio. So
I was going to mention that. I did guest on an episode of Wookiee Radio about a month or so ago. I want to say maybe 2 months.
Nice.
Great podcast. Really fun. Just a bunch of people nerding out about what they love. So, you know, if you're the kind of person who likes to sit around and just shoot nerdy stuff back and forth with other nerds and really get into the nitty gritty of what you really think.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast. And I was honored and blessed to be a guest and I would love to come back anytime.
Sounds awesome. All right. All right. Let's all say our goodbyes for the evening and we will let Ben take us out. I will start. Thank you everybody for tuning into the Con Guy show tonight. Please follow us at theconguy.com on Twitter, the Con Guy on Instagram. And you can follow me on James D. Fry. I don't post a lot. Mainly, I post once a year on St. Patrick's Day. I'm kidding. I post. All right. Who else we got? Lucas. All right. Who's next?
All right. I'll go. You can find me on Instagram at Twitter at Cheese on Cow. Oh, what? That's not me. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Cheese on Couch and on the conguy.com. And of course, at Comic-Con. Yep. And of course, messing with Jim. Or Katie, or
Wait,
Ben.
Is my turn now? Oh, because, okay, Ben's closing it out. Okay, it's Katie, aka Katie underscore Christine across all social media, Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, everything, pretty much. You can also find me at the Con Girls. I know we're going to try to plan on doing some more shows again soon. Sorry, we've been a little bit inactive due to scheduling, but...
Katie moved!
I did, so I have a new setup in here, so you can kind of see my collection in progress of figuring out how to display it. But for the Con Girls, we're going to try to do a show where we talk about the convention-like thing that just happened for, if you guys follow me on Twitter, I'm sorry, but I became a BTS fan. But they recently had their 10th anniversary, and they had an entire festival in South Korea where 400,000 people showed up. And so me and my roommate are going to try to do a little bit of coverage of that. If you guys stay tuned to the Con Girls for that. Also, Anime Expo is this weekend for you anime nerds. So keep an eye out on all the news coming out of that because it will be happening. Always happens 4th of July weekend. So, yeah.
All right.
Hey, I'm Derek again. I'm a regular here, writer, contributor to theconguy.com. And I will say I have never regretted going to Comic-Con. Every year there might be certain highlights. And when I look back on previous years, some years might stand out more than others as being just a particularly great time, but I've always loved it. And I don't think that's going to change just because some stuff isn't going to be there this year. I think that's just an opportunity to enjoy the things that I actually kind of love more, which are those, you know, those indie panels, those offsites, those, and also just getting to know people who love the same things that I do. Those are the best parts about the convention. We've got that stuff and we can give more attention to that when we don't have to worry as much about the Hall H line every time.
Yeah.
So you can find me on Twitter occasionally at ConGuyDerek. And since Ben is going after me, I have to riff off of him a little bit ahead. People are always asking me, why are you carrying around that can of Play-Doh, Derek? It's because whenever Derek's around, we're going to be flexible, nostalgic, maybe a little salty, but not toxic.
Ben, before you, I love that. Ben, before you go,
okay. I think we all need one.
Before Ben, Katie, Brad wants to say happy birthday, everybody.
Thank you.
This, Katie, we just can't have a show without wishing you happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
I think that makes up, that shows up about as much as the Ryan dancing.
Oh no. But Brad said one more comment. Did y'all mention the San Diego Comic-Con info list pre-party? We did not, but we need to do it. Next, it's Thursday, July 13th at Academy over in Hollywood, California. Jeff Gunn and the Infolist are hosting a pre-Comic-Con party for anybody in the Los Angeles area. It is an invitation-only party, but to get an invitation, all you got to do is get in touch with Jeff Gunn and request an invitation, or they're buy a ticket, basically. By invitation-only, it's a ticketed event. You must have a ticket to get in, and you can't just show up. You must have the tickets ahead of time. They have to know how many to plan for. It's always a lot of fun. It is basically starting the Comic-Con event early. And you start up here in Los Angeles before you head down there. Thank you, Brad, for bringing that up and not letting us forget that. We'll have information on our website about how to go to the Infolist party. We might even be interviewing Jeff coming up. He said he'd be up for an interview with us. And we'll be there. Whoever can make it, we'll be going there because we will be there. We're going to be there. And some of the Power Rangers will be making appearances with us. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And Andy did just say that batches for...
Yeah.
Anime Expo just sold out.
They usually do, but it's,
Everybody's wishing Katie happy birthday. So anyways, Ben, please take us out.
All right. Well, thank you all so much. For those of you that tuned in live to our podcast tonight, our live broadcast of the Happy Hour, we really appreciate you all. And thank you so much for just hanging in there with us. Our show's been on the... I was going to say the air, but that's not really what it is. Our show's been on the Ethernet cables for
seven
years now, and we're still doing it, which means people still pay attention to us, which you can't say for, you know, the majority of podcasts out there. I do want to say thank you to our host network, That Hashtag Show, and their sponsor, Neft Vodka, reminding you to please always drink responsibly. I haven't been doing that tonight, but I'm at home, so... Like I said, I made my cocktail a little bit stronger than I intended to, and I'm only about halfway through, and I'm going to eat some pizza after this. Folks, thank you so much. My name is Ben Cleaver. You can find me on all social media at BenKlieWer, or you can search the hashtag BK421. I always say I'm going to post more, and I always intend to, so we'll see if that works out. Mostly just Twitter, Instagram, and I'm trying to do some more TikTok, but I've only got like two things up there right now. Folks, this has been the Con Guy Happy Hour. Please visit us at theconguy.com as well as our sister website, thescareguy.com. Check out the Con Kids podcast, the Con Girls. And, you know, check out all the stuff that we're putting out there. We're just as excited about all of this as you guys are. And thank you again for watching the show tonight. And as a reminder, people always ask me, Ben, why are you drinking out of that red cup? Well, it's because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party. Kapla!
Yeah! Kapla! Later! Oh, not again. All right. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the We Be Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.